What is up, Salt community? We are so excited to be with you again on the Monochrome Podcast with my good friends and coworkers. Yes, I'm only a little bit paid to say that, but here they are, Kaylee and Caitlin. How are you guys doing?
Oh man, I'm feeling giggly. Like, we're having so much fun together, you guys, that I just feel so high and upbeat right now.
I'm on a high right now. You can't bring me down.
I think Kaylee feels the same.
That is Gypsy Rose. If you don't know who that is, you should. It was a trending audio. That's the only reason I know.
Yeah, those trending audios. They'll get you. So fun. If this is your first time listening to the podcast, don't worry. We only goof off a little bit. This podcast is for church creatives. So if you know what ProPresenter is, if you know what Premiere Pro is, which are easy to confuse if you don't know what they are, if you know what Adobe Suite is, and you know what church SEO is, and all of these terms, then you are in the right spot. Welcome home. We love you. We welcome you with open arms. We're hugging you. So yes, welcome. I'm JT. I am hosting this week's episode. Super excited. We got some great stuff coming. We're going to start off though with Kaylee in the first segment talking about a workshop that she recently went back and watched.
Oh yes, I love it. I came across this workshop because really it speaks to the season that I'm in as a person. But I want to know from you guys, have you ever gone through quotation marks, the process or a process? Do you know what I mean? The aloof process we talk about in church and seasons, all the Christianese.
This, I have to say, I maybe have and have never recognized it as that, because for me, a process is so hands-on and practical and logistical because that's how my mind works. And I've had a super blessed life. So I don't know. I don't know if I've been through the process.
I love it. Well, cool. Well, I listened to Power in the Process from Meredith Andrews, and she talks about the life of David, and she talks about how his life can parallel to our life. So he was anointed king, I want to say when he was 15, and it wasn't until so many years later that he actually became king. And what I love about this is she breaks down the aloof process that I was talking about. As creatives, if you're not logistically minded like Caitlin, which I am 100% not, the process can be like, oh my gosh, when is it going to end? Are there mile marker signs? And she really gives that. She really breaks it down into four separate moments or ways that you can go through process, which looks like trials, pruning, the wilderness, pain. And it's really, really beautiful to see the way she parallels our life and David's life. And so I want to know if you guys, what you think about that, what you think about going through process in the terms of like pain, trials, pruning. Pruning is my favorite one, maybe because I'm in a pruning season, I feel like. So I'm like crying at my desk listening to this. So I'd love you guys' thoughts if you've watched this workshop. Tell me all your things.
First of all, love Meredith Andrews. What an amazing person. I don't know her personally, but I know that she's amazing, and I've watched a couple of her workshops that we've had her for. But I did watch this a while ago when I first started at Salt, and I was looking for little clips to post, but it was really impactful. And just her, like, because it's not a like creative process or a step-by-step process, it's like a life process. Mm-hmm. And she's very intentional and prayerful about how she goes through it. And I think it is super, super helpful. And just reframing your mind a little bit to think about how you go through life in a spiritual way.
I love that you put it that way, because yeah, Kaylee, as you gave that description, as JT just commented, you asked, you know, have we ever been through a process like that? And hearing it in those contexts, I'm like, yes, I'm in it now. And I think it's because maybe it's just the yearning that we always have for God. But like, I think I've heard a lot of people, a lot of my friends say, like, I just feel like I'm just waiting for that thing to drop, and in a good way, not like the bad thing, like the bad shoe that's going to drop, but we're just waiting for that. Like, what did all of this build up to? This hard season I went through, this season of waiting, the season I've been learning from, like, we all feel like it's building up to something. And we're like, when is it going to get here? And I think hearing you guys say it the way you did, I was like, I am in a process. I didn't even realize it. Because I'm very much like, okay, what is this building up to all these things in my life, the last 2 years of my life, like surely this is leading to something bigger. Like I'm just waiting to see what that is. And so, yeah, it's like the process of waiting and the power of what happens when you're waiting. Yeah. Pruning. Phew. I don't think I'm like Kaylee. I'm not like, yes, I love that pruning phase, or I'm so intrigued by it.
No, pruning. I heard this thing recently from a pastor podcast that I listened to, out of the 18 inch journey, Cageless Birds. They're super creative as well, but they were talking about this tree that wouldn't grow. And this arbor came in and they cut it in half and they said, don't touch it for a year. And so that tree a few weeks ago, months ago, probably had some of the biggest fruit that they had seen that people were enjoying. And what we don't realize, and what Meredith touches on as well in this workshop, is pruning is a reward. Pruning means that we're growing and that we're submitted to a process to become like Jesus. And the other thing I really took away from this workshop, and I don't want to give you the whole farm. I want you to go listen to it because it's so powerful. But she actually talks about how sometimes the first step in promotion can look like demotion. And I think we've all been there where it's like, yes, I'm trucking along. Let's go. And then it's like left turn. It's like, shoot, I thought I was about to be promoted. And that's what it looked like in David's life. He got anointed and then went back to the field and smelled like manure in Meredith's terms. But in the end of that, he got to kill a lion and a bear. And who else has those stories? So.
And then becomes king. Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah. Wow.
No, it's so good. I'm Enneagram 3 wing 4. And so very achievement based. So my mind, Caitlin, is a little bit in the same spot of like, what am I achieving right now? Like, what has all of this been working up to? Yeah. And I have found like so many times, like you said, Kaylee, like you feel like you're working up to this moment and then there's this hard left turn and everything moves in a different direction and you're like, I don't know what's going on. Like nothing that I've been doing or working on or developing in myself seems like it moves in this direction. And then all of a sudden there'll be a moment where it all makes sense and it clicks. And then there's this temptation to think like, okay, this is it. Like we're locked in. And then lo and behold, later on, there'll be a whole new shift, you know? And so it's important to recognize that process and have patience and be prayerful through it. So
I feel like I have to just say it. There are times where it probably doesn't click, like where you're suddenly in that new place and you didn't even realize it. Like you got so maybe used to the waiting, or maybe you got so good at the process and sitting where you're supposed to sit with your heart in that process that you get into that new spot and you're like, oh, there was no click. Like, this is it. This is what I was being prepared for. Here I am. So don't feel like all of a sudden it all snaps into place, because that might not always be the case.
Yeah.
It won't come through as just a clear new job offer or that new hire that made everything right and took so much off your plate, or, you know, things like that.
It's good.
Sometimes it's a slow transition and you don't even see it. You don't even see it happening.
Low and slow, baby. Low and slow.
Well, as I have mentioned, and as JT just reminded us, I do have a very logistical mind. My mind is very tactile and practical. And so I want to talk about something that I have found super useful for me, being tactical and practical in my everyday work life. And that is a very new piece of software called Spark. Dramatic pause so you all could like get on your keyboards and hurry and type it in so you'd be ready to go. When we talk about what is in our cart, which is this new segment right here, it is this app called Spark. It is a piece of software that is changing our game as a team right now. I got to think of the best way to explain it for you guys. If you use Apple Mail or if you use like Slack, this is almost a combination of the two. Or maybe you've heard about them and your team hasn't really gotten on board of using one or both of those programs. I love it because it's like an inbox that helps you keep your inbox clean. It's like got software coding built in to help you like get through your emails more easily. But within that, you can basically DM people on your team and not have to CC them in emails or BCC them in emails. You can have internal conversations on this app Spark, or this desktop program Spark, so that you can avoid those extra emails, which, let's be honest, Do any of us love the extra emails? Raise a virtual hand?
No.
I don't think anybody does.
No. Yeah. Only Luke
loves the emails.
But let's be honest, so many people use their emails like a to-do list, and it's very dangerous. But having the ability to like chat back and forth with your team, like within those email threads, and it not just be more emails, it's revolutionary. And I know that our team has really loved using it. A great example of this is if you have a church info account, all right, like one of those cool, trendy hello at, you know, stmarkchurch.com kind of thing. You have people emailing in, maybe double checking Easter service times, or here's a specific one. I have a 12-year-old. Are they old enough to do the Easter egg hunt, or are they too old? Well, if you have one person that kind of manages that account, you don't have to bounce around and be like, well, let me CC our children's pastor. And then they have to say, hi, I'm so-and-so. What's your question? Because they didn't read the email thread. Like, no, you just message them in the app and they're like, 12 years old, totally invited to the Easter egg hunt. No big deal. And then that person managing the info account, it can be the same contact going back to the community member who emailed saying, you're welcome to join us. And it just is smooth communication. So long story short, that is what's in my cart.
All right, coming up next, we have a segment talking about church marketing and SEO with Chandler Boyce. But before we get to that, I want to tell you an effective church marketing strategy encompasses far more than just SEO. That's where our friends Shift Worship, who are also the presenting partners for SALT 2024, can step in and help you fill in some gaps. With unlimited access to customizable resources like social graphics, announcement slides, and bulletin templates, creating a compelling and visible presence within your community has never been easier. The best part is that your first month of resources is free. Go to shiftworship.com/marketing and get 30 days of free church graphics right now. Let our friends at Shift Worship help you grow your marketing strategy one resource at a time.
All right, well, I am very excited to have a new voice to the SALT community, and I can't wait for you to get to know him, his heart, and his knowledge that I think is going to help all of us who are listening as we navigate sort of marketing, social media, online SEO specifically, as it relates to kind of helping people find our churches. But we've already quickly bonded over being Girl Dads together, and that's exciting. Please welcome to the Monochrome Podcast, Chandler Boyce. Chandler, welcome, my friend.
Thank you guys for having me. It's an honor. It's been fun just even meeting you briefly and talking and connecting, and just love what you guys are doing, and just kind of learning more about what you guys got going on, and hopefully get to come hang out and meet you guys. If possible, maybe sneak peek, having an event here in the DFW area. So really honored to be here.
Yeah, what's really fun about that is that as you and I are recording, we have not let that cat out of the bag. We haven't announced that yet, but that announcement is coming soon. And so you and I get to kind of talk about that, knowing that we're still in that circle of trust, that it hasn't actually left that. Chandler, you run an organization called Marketing Co-op. Give us kind of a little bit of an overview of what you do on a daily basis and kind of how that serves and helps the local church.
Yeah, so I help churches, ministries, create and implement digital marketing strategies so they can reach more people, they can communicate better, they can hopefully grow their church, they can increase engagement online. You know, it's 2024 and everyone is online, and everyone, if they're searching for something, looking for something, they are going online. And so I help churches navigate that, whether that's through training, through my program, or if it's, you know, hey, I'll do all of it for you. So been doing that, started that just a little over a year and a half, and absolutely enjoy it. I love getting to come alongside pastors and church leaders and just help them figure this out. I, you know, having been in ministry for quite a bit of time, I can only think like, man, if I knew like then what I know now, it would be so many things would have been better. I would have saved so much money on, you know, not sending out mailers every year, and, you know, all, you know, doing ads the wrong way and just everything. So it's fun.
What I love about your story is that you've got experience that goes back years in ministry, full-time ministry specifically. I know you were running a camp there for a little bit. And in the marketplace, working for sort of mainstream brands. Yep. And now I love that you're coming together and here to help kind of the local church say, how do we increase impact? And I think that's so powerful. I think so often people think like, he left the church, right? But I love that you're actually saying, no, I left. And I'm coming back saying, hey, here's stuff we can learn kind of with modern marketplace strategies. What do you feel like the biggest trends you're seeing in churches, SEO, online search, stuff like that? Maybe even let's back up maybe a hair before I even ask that question. For those who may not have heard of the phrase SEO, how do you synthesize that in sort of a short thought?
Yeah. So search engine optimization is if you want to kind of simplify it, is people are searching online. And so depending on what people are searching, we want to show up for that thing. So for instance, if someone is in your area and they are searching for a Christian church, does your website show up? Does your social media show up? Does your YouTube show up? Whatever those are all in consideration. So basically we're trying to take what the people that we want to target in their search intent, and we want to show up for those things. That's kind of the simple form. If I try to, when we talk about this, obviously we'll get into a little bit more complex things, but really it's just showing up and trying to get in front of the right people when someone is on Google and or Bing. People, their Bing is a consideration too, because there are some people that are on Bing depending on their job and their computer and stuff like that.
Have you seen some of the non-Google search engines in your experience increase with some of the privacy conversations that are kind of happening in culture and sort of big tech companies? I mean, I know like DuckDuckGo was running like huge ads of like, we won't track you and trace you. Like, are you seeing any of that, or is Google still without question the lion's share of traditional search?
I mean, Google they hold the majority of it. It's Google's number one, YouTube's number two.
I love that you're bringing YouTube up, because first off, that is Google. But second, the way that we search things on video, and for churches who are like, I'm not on YouTube, this is maybe...
Well, not on YouTube. And the other issue is, when you talk about YouTube specifically, is that even if they do post an edited YouTube, their edited sermon clip on YouTube, most churches don't even title it right. They just title it because... God bless the pastors, and they pour out their hearts in writing his messages, but their little cute sermon titles, however cute they are, they're not going to always translate into SEO. And so I honestly think if I'm writing messages, I'm writing my messages and I'm titling them as if they like for YouTube, right? Good. Like how to, three ways to deal with anxiety, three ways prayer can change your life. Cause that's the stuff that people are potentially searching for. So like, going to something like Neil Patel's website, I think it's called Answer the Public. And you pay it's super affordable. You pay like a one-time fee, and you can go in there and research what people are actually searching for. And you could almost do sermon series and sermon titles based on just, hey, this is what people are actually searching.
That's
for.
Crazy. So you're basically getting real time information on what are people asking, and then can the church actually provide that answer?
Yeah.
In a biblical context.
Yep.
Wow.
Yep.
Okay. So on a practical level, give me a couple of quick hits. What can a church do to quote unquote increase their SEO or search engine optimization? You've talked a little about on YouTube, kind of titling messages. What just maybe at large?
Yeah.
What does that look like?
Yeah, I mean, I've said this more times than I would probably like, but it is the simplest and easiest thing that a pastor, a comms director, marketing director, social media director can do, and that is your Google business profile. And you're going to hear in my world, people in my position say optimization. You need to optimize your Google business profile. So what that means really quickly is every week you need to upload photos from the weekend or videos to where it says add photos. You need to get at least 1 to 2 reviews on Google, and you need to post updates and events on your Google business profile. There's some other things you need to do, but like your description with your Google profile, I think you have 750 characters you can put in there. You need to use as much of that as possible. But in that description, you have to, you want to include marketing language, but you also want to include those keywords. For instance, my church is called Trademark Church of Fort Worth. So in the description, I'm going to open up with something like, Trademark Church is a Christian church in Fort Worth. We believe, you know, we want to lead people to, you know, serve, love, and lead people into a relationship with Jesus Christ. You know, we have activities for kids in a ministry that they're going to enjoy. We've got small groups where we find community and we help you. And, you know, we want to use as much of those keywords in that description as well as the category. So that's just kind of a real quick oversight, but a lot of churches sleep, don't know, or ignore their Google Business Profile. And it's one of the easiest things that you can do to get your rank up really fast. Like I'm talking like really fast. Like I've got church planners who are getting their profile ranked in the top three in the first year of being a church. Amazing. And there's churches that have been around for 10 or 15 years. And by them simply just optimizing or updating and being consistent on their profile, they're already at the top.
Just to confirm, this updating your business profile is free, right? This is not a paid thing. It's not like paid ads or anything.
No, no money.
All this is free.
It'll take you. It will take someone maybe 10 to 20 minutes a week to do this.
And how important in your experience and your sort of, in your experience, how important is this updating it weekly versus at least just doing this once? Because I feel like it kind of sounds like just do this once for start. Like if you really are that strapped, just find 15, 20 minutes.
Yeah.
But what's that ROI on doing this weekly?
I mean, the consistency is key when it comes to anything marketing. I mean, really anything in life, right? Like the more consistent we can be with our families, our wife, our spouse, our kids, our money, our job, but the more consistent that you can be with your profile, Google rewards you for that. So the more reviews that you have, the more photos that you have, the more posting that you have, you're getting rewarded for those things. Just like with social media, you know, people say, you know, how many times a week do I need to post? And I tell people, how many times a week can you post? Yeah. Because the more you post, the more opportunity that you have to go viral or to increase your followers, to reach more people. And so it's, you know, if you can do it more than that, then do more than that. But at least I think for most churches and their teams to add a 20-minute task each week to someone's schedule is usually pretty reasonable.
What do you think the sort of keywords, and you mentioned this in kind of that 750-word description, what are some of the like keywords that a church may want to consider putting into their description? I mean, people are probably not searching as generic as Nashville-based churches or Fort Worth-based church, right? Are they searching more specific things like a great kids program in a Fort Worth church that has young adults in this little neighborhood? I mean, is that as specific as they're getting or?
So what you do when you really, if you're going to like what we do, like if we're doing full service SEO for a church is we're going to do keyword research. So you can go to Google's keyword planner. You can go use something like SEMrush or SpyFu. And you can research these keywords and it'll show you what the average monthly search number is for a keyword. So if I go into SEMrush and I put in churches in Nashville, it's going to pull up all the variations around those keywords. And then I can see which ones are highest, which ones are lowest. And then I can then make a plan on, okay, I want to target for these words. Normally what I recommend churches do is start with the low hanging fruit. Start with, you know, Christian churches, in Fort Worth, non-denominational church, you know, whatever kind of those, like whatever you kind of identify your church as, is, or the people that you want to get in front of that would be interested in your church, start there. Yeah, exactly. Diverse church. I mean, you can go, you know, best churches in Fort Worth. Yeah. Well, I mean, yeah, you can, I mean, there is, depending on how, what's the word, aggressive you want to be. I mean, you can technically rank for whatever you want. So
and whether or not they stay, cause it actually followed through with how you ranked, right?
Well, for sure.
All right. So we've been talking about the business profile. Obviously that's on Google's side. Let's talk the website side.
Yep.
What does a church need to be thinking about doing on their actual website, if anything, to sort of increase some of what we're talking about, local search?
Yeah, and I want to give a little bit more value before I move on to the website. So profiles, Google is important. Your Yelp profile is important. Your Apple business and map listing is important.
Because that's Apple Maps.
Those are some Google Maps. Those are some key. Those are some key listings that I would definitely not sleep on. I would make sure that you have those, claim those, update those if you can. Google is obviously the most important, but you need to have those listings as well. On the website side, so when we're talking about SEO, when we're talking about ranking in Google, we're really trying to rank not just the whole website, but each page of the website. So you're going to want to pick keywords based around each page. So your homepage might be, you know, Christian Church in Fort Worth, trademark church. And then on your homepage, you need to include those keywords on that homepage. So we want to make sure that we have actual content like language, you know, usually probably around at least 500 to 750 words on that on your homepage, if not a little bit more. I do see a lot of churches that they just don't have a lot of content on their homepage, and it's very picture heavy and photo heavy. Well, when Google goes to crawl or, you know, scan your website, they're looking for the words on your website that tells them, okay, this is what we need to show them up for when someone is searching those keywords like Christian church, if that makes sense.
Makes total sense. Yeah. Like don't content just on show your web- a video yeah, or photos. Describe it.
Yep. Yeah. Content is key. And then really big is, I was about to just do a post about this, but making sure that your sitemap is on there, that you've got it indexed on Google Search Console, because if it's not indexed on Google Search Console, your website, Google doesn't know your website exists. Like you are, even if you have a website, they don't know you exist. So making sure that you have that sitemap submitted. And then another big key thing is your H1 tags, H2 tags, your description and your meta description. So a lot of churches, what they'll do is they'll title their H1 or the title of their
okay. Let's page, clarify H1, H2. What are those? Give us a little.
So on the back end of most websites, you know, if they're on WordPress, you know, Squarespace, hopefully not Wix, because Wix is a terrible website, but whatever, I get why churches are on there. There is, when you go into the back side and your sitemap, their H1 is like your header title. So it's what, so like when you go in and you type in your website, it'll say, you know, homepage, you know, Salt Community or whatever. That's somewhat normal, but what you're telling Google is nothing. So in that H1, you're going to want to put Christian Church in Fort Worth, Texas, trademark church. And then, for instance, on your kids page, you might want to put kids events or fun things to do with kids in Fort Worth. Stuff like, you know, or when you blogs are a big part of SEO. If you want your church to start ranking for other things besides just church, small groups, community groups, whatever, if you know, you write a blog about 10 best things to do in Fort Worth with your kids. You write a good blog about that, guess what? When someone's in Fort Worth and they're searching for things to do, they might find it.
I love that. It's not just benefiting you. It's help. How do you help the community at large and sort of be a hub for info?
How do you add value? This is what Google wants to see, value adding content. So when it's on social media, we need to be adding value, helping people, encouraging them, making them laugh, giving them tips, giving them tricks, you know, and even on blogs, like don't just write blogs around, you know, like really churchy things, but think about five prayers to pray that'll make your day better. Or, you know, what does the Bible say on how to deal with anxiety, stuff like that.
I love this. I think that it's so important. As we discuss as a church, how do you serve the community well? And maybe how do you increase in search optimization? You're coming back to this simple heartbeat of add value to the church, add value to the community, add value to Google, make it so that it's easy for Google to put you up top, whether it be a children's ministry or whatever. I want to ask this real quick, Chandler, while we're kind of in this conversation, because this is so good. It's so much gold coming out of you. What is the difference between what I would call sort of general SEO and local search? Because we've kind of talked mostly about local search, Yelp and Google Maps and Apple Maps and stuff like that. But yep. the two kind of play together, right? But they're also kind of different. Can you kind of unpack those a little bit?
Correct. So you have your local or your map search. So normally when you first do a search, if you're searching for something that is near you, around you type thing, you know, a plumber or a church, the first thing that's going to pop up is a little map section. It's going to have little squares and it's going to say, you know, have the different businesses or churches, whatever. And then it's going to show you a map where those are located in proximity to your location. So when, you know, the closer someone is to your church, usually the higher you're going to be. And then the further away, usually further down the list, depending on if you've optimized your Google profile to say, hey, you know, like, don't just put in Fort Worth in the service area, but put in neighborhoods. Sorry. Like put in little, you know, the little, if like, and not every neighborhood will show up, but like area. In Fort Worth. Yeah. So like we put in Fort Worth, but then we also put in like Candle Ridge, Ridgely Hills, White Settlement, Aledo, Burleson, Crowley, because those are all within that 15-20 mile range. And we want to make sure that we're showing up in those areas as well.
That's really good, especially if you're in kind of major metropolitan areas. Well, Chandler, we're running out of time. Yep. And I love this because this has been so enriching. I want to make sure that you get a chance to kind of tell people how people can connect with you. If someone who's listening to this goes, oh my gosh, I need this. I need a partner. I need a friend. I need a coach. I need someone who can come alongside me. How can people best connect with you to kind of help continue that conversation?
Yeah, a great place for me is Instagram. So it's at Chandler D. Boyce. I'm on there all the time. I communicate. I'm a real person. And if you need help, if you're someone that if you're looking for someone just to help you with Google Ads, Meta Ads, SEO, or if you're someone you're wanting to learn and wanting to learn more, you want to hone in your skills, you're a church planner, comms director, social media manager, I've got a program and a community that you can dive in, and I will literally teach you everything from SEO, PPC, email campaigns, funnels, social media strategies, everything. It's such a great tool because I was in that same spot as being on staff at a church, being over all the websites, all the social media, all the email marketing campaigns and the ads, and not knowing really what to do. And so I've poured out hours and hours into this program and this community to give people the resources and the tools so these churches can implement it themselves and not, you know, and keep as much money as they can inside and implement what I call an omni-channel marketing strategy, which very few churches are doing. Mm-hmm. If you want to dive in and learn, I've got everything that you need.
I love it. His social media account is worth its weight in gold. So I definitely encourage you to follow. Chandler, thanks for being with us, man.
Thanks for having me.
Wow, what an awesome conversation with my good friend Chandler. Make sure to go check out his social media page if you want to learn more. All those links will be down in the show notes, so go check those out. SEO is such, I feel like, an underrated part of what the church does for reaching their local community. And like we talked about, that local SEO can really kind of be a silver bullet to help you get in front of people in your community and start reaching them and get them in the doors of your church. So definitely start thinking about that and implementing some of those practical steps that he talked about. Coming up next is our favorite segment, the Creative Challenge. Mm-hmm. It's coming straight from the SALT director, Caitlin. Here we go.
Okay, in a world that is so screen heavy, I love this challenge. It is a chance to unplug and super challenge yourself. I literally call it the Lights Out Challenge. It's every couple of months, I will take 3 days or I will take a week, and the challenge is to do no artificial light. So you can use sunlight, you can use candles, but when that sun sets or before sunrise, when it's dark, no artificial lights. You cannot flip switches. You cannot turn on your phone and look at the screen. You cannot open your laptop and work on stuff. The goal is zero artificial light shining into your eyes when the sun is not shining. Now, obviously, when you're at work, you're allowed to do those things, but I guess the main goal is when you're at home to have a lights out challenge. I love this because if you are creative who has felt dead, you have lost your spark, you're like, I have no creative process or flow lately, the ideas just aren't coming. Man, I cannot preach to you enough how boredom breeds creativity. And when you shut down those screens and you get off of that screen time, you're like, what do I do with myself? I am so bored. Like, what is there to do if not look at my phone or my computer and work more? Well, you will find things to do. You might just spend more time with the people in your house. I know it's revolutionary, but you might do it. Game nights, doodling, picking up a book, daydreaming. You guys, daydreaming is so good for your health, your mental health, your physical health. I am sure there's some statistic on how it helps your body too, but it definitely helps your creativity. So I want to challenge all of you to join me this week when the episode is released. I'm going to be doing the Lights Out Challenge. So if you want to be a part of it, I want you to post about it during the day when you're allowed to be using your phone. Do hashtag Salt Creative Challenge and hashtag Lights Out Challenge. Now, one warning, if you're trying this at home and you do have children, please be sure to discuss fire safety and review your emergency plan with them first.
I love the disclaimer. Well, thanks so much, guys, for joining us for this episode of the Monochrome Podcast. We hope you learned a lot and had a blast. And we are excited to see you / hear you / be in your digital presence next week.